our brains are, they're basically interpretation machines. It's just kind of how they work. Our brain is a prediction machine, you know? It's trying to right. forecast future events, and we can easily get trapped into believing something is real that is just an interpretation. And I think we're safer if we can avoid that. Welcome to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast, where we discuss the journey to real liberty through self-sufficiency, counter-economics, non-aggression, and the agora.
The Outpost represents the border between societal norm and the pioneer spirit. Every episode contains practical, philosophical, and technical information you can use to gain the freedom you deserve. Welcome, everybody, to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast. I am Regina, and I am here with Cyrus.
Good morning.
And today we're just having a nice little tavern talk.
Yeah. Random topics.
Exactly. Random things we think of throughout the journey of this podcast that we want to talk about. A collection of ideas that doesn't quite fit in anywhere else. And we talk about them. Like yeah. we're in a tavern, drinking yeah. whiskey.
Yeah, telling lies and boasting about exploits.
What would your preferred tavern beverage be?
Beer. Mm-hmm. Just beer.
What kind of beer do you drink?
Cheap beer. Nah, usually, I'm like a Bud Light guy.
Bud Light? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really into Michelob Ultras right now.
Those are good.
They yeah. are good. They're light. They're light on the calories. They're not super cheap, but I don't drink enough to really care. Mm-hmm. So my day drinking is typically Michelob Ultra, and evening drinking would switch either to red wine or whiskey on the rocks with a splash of water.
Right.
I think for this one, I'm going to go with a light beer. That sounds good.
Light beer, okay. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So I want to quickly divert your attention to the offgridoutpost.com. We have a couple of really cool free PDFs that you can download on such topics as counter-economics and cryptocurrency investing. We have an ebook we wrote that you can purchase for a small pittance of a price. Mm-hmm. We have an archive of all of our episodes there and some recommended products that are nifty, so head on over there if you would like to support our endeavor here. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get on with the first little topic, the little gemstone of a topic. Oh, not cauliflower. I pulled up the wrong notes.
Cauliflower, the perfect bar topic.
Cauliflower. I'm going to tell you how to bake a cauliflower perfectly. No, I'm not. Don't worry.
Okay. Good, because I was going to have to start. I was going to have to switch to whiskey if you did.
Yeah, right. Whiskey and cauliflower. That actually sounds kind of good. I love cauliflower. Okay. Enough about the cauliflower. So I want to talk a little bit about alternative investments. And I had a listener email in asking about investing in silver and what would be the best gray market practice to invest in silver. So my recommendation with that is to purchase from your local pawn shop, mm-hmm. bars or rounds. And another really good in-person place you can buy silver are gun shows. There's a lot of silver showing up in gun shows right now.
Yeah, that seems like a good place where you'd find silver.
Yeah, it is. However, I advise you that there is a lot of counterfeit silver floating around. So what counterfeiters do is they take tungsten and coat it with silver, so you still get the weight, but it's not full silver. So when you do purchase from a gun show, pawn shops are pretty good about it. Gun shows, maybe not so much, because they might be trying to turn a quick buck. You know, ask them, how do you know this silver isn't counterfeit? What do you do to test this bar?
Is there a way for you to know personally? You don't even have to ask? Or does it require some kind of special equipment?
It does require special equipment. There's a molecular reader that you can get, and it fits in the size of your palm. I don't know how much they are. And you place the bar on the molecular reader, and it'll read if it's the same metal all the way through. And so it has a molecular structure that'll tell you it's actual silver, or gold, for that matter.
Yeah, so depending on how much they actually cost, it might be worth it if you're planning on buying quite a bit of silver from people you don't know.
Yeah, I'd be curious to look into this device. That's the only way I know of that will read it all the way through the bar. Because you can test the outer layer of the bar, but that bar is dipped in real silver.
Right.
And then you can scratch into the bar physically, but then you damage the bar, which doesn't technically change the value. But for me, I don't want to scratch into my silver bars.
Yeah, and if you hadn't bought mine yet, I'm not going to let you.
No. Exactly. So the molecular reader might be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I just quickly looked up to see how much a silver tester is. They're definitely out there. They're fairly reasonable in price, but it'll require more research. So I'm going to research that, and I'll put a link in the episode page on the website, which will have a link in the podcast.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you made that challenge in one of our earlier episodes. I bought some silver, bought a couple of rounds, bought a coin, bought some junk silver, a bunch of dimes, bought like 2 ounces of junk silver. Or they call it junk silver. I think they only call it junk silver because it's just old coins that aren't 100% silver, I think is the reason they call it junk silver. But it's still, they still have a value.
I want to say they're 80% silver. Pre-1965 dimes, nickels, quarters. Well, maybe not nickels. I think nickel was just nickel, but dimes and quarters pre-1965 and dollars, silver dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And half dollars were all mostly silver. And I want to say it's 80%.
Yeah, and I got 2 ounces for... What did I give? No, I don't remember. I think it was $40 when silver was at like 30, I think.
Right.
So it was a fair deal.
And right now we're in a dip on silver, which would be a good time to buy.
Mm-hmm.
I would personally buy some if I wanted to buy more silver. I bought between $15 and $30, so I have a nice dollar cost average going on. And that brings me to my next topic of how to invest. And I have a big secret to investing that I want to share with you that is super valuable. It's the only investment advice you will ever need.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. What is it?
We don't know shit.
Well, okay. I think you're right.
The key to investing is we don't know shit, people. So this is what I mean. Unless you have a crystal ball that can peer into the future, we have no idea where the price is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the most valuable information I can give you, because people try and speculate. People try to do technical analysis. People try to gauge what's going on in an industry or with a company. And unless you are the insider of the insider, if you have really valuable insider information, which I can guarantee you we don't, most of us, we do not know where the price is going to go. We have no clue. There could be a super valuable company like Boeing that's doing amazing, and you buy the stock at a high price because it's just going up and up, and then the Rona hits. and it tanks.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy Bitcoin at $11,000, and there's a country out there like Korea that bans Bitcoin, and it plunges the price to $6,000. We saw that happen. Actually, it plunged it to like $4,000. We saw that happen in March. It was crazy.
Well, okay, so what do I do with this great advice? Now I know I don't know shit.
It could happen with silver. It could happen with gold. My suggestion is, well, what you need to do is you need to take the emotion out of investing, and that is very difficult to do because we all get high on hopium. And we all think that Bitcoin's going to the moon. We think that silver is going to take a moonshot, and it may very well. But there's going to be dips along the way. So I always say, you know, BTFD, which is buy the fucking dip.
Mm-hmm.
But even that is an emotional trade.
Because you can't know where the dip is.
You don't know where the dip is. You don't know how far it's going to dip. You're going to buy halfway through the dip, you're going to catch a falling knife, and you're like, man, I could have bought it 2 days later for 30% less. Emotional. What right. you do is you take the emotion out of investing and trading by dollar cost averaging into a position. So let's say I have $20,000 I want to buy on Bitcoin.
Okay.
The price right now is like $11,000. I am going to choose a specific day, once a week, biweekly, or monthly, and I am going to buy in regardless of the price. It is going to be an automation.
So you're going to divide that $2,000 over a time period, or $20,000 mm-hmm. over a time period, and devote the same portion at this specific time, biweekly or monthly or whatever, and buy the same amount every time automatically, no matter what.
Yes, exactly. Therefore, gotcha. There is no emotions in your trade. You're going to get a nice fluctuation of price. It could possibly just keep going on an uptrend and crash. I do not know. I do not have a crystal ball. It could go on a downtrend and you're buying the price as it gets lower and lower and lower. And then it shoots way up.
Mm-hmm.
We have no knowledge of the future. Technical analysis does not work. The only reason technical analysis works sometimes is because everyone's doing it. So you can almost follow the traders trading based on technical analysis. But even that doesn't work all the time because you have news that comes out. You have whales that pump and dump. And I'm talking in every market.
Mm-hmm.
You can have the president send out a tweet that he's not going to provide any more stimulus funds until after the election. And the market tanks for a day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because our markets are so resilient.
Right.
So my point is dollar cost average in. Take the emotion out of trading. Do not try and predict where the market is going. We have no idea what's going to happen at any point, especially with this crazy radical year we're having. And my next point is, we don't know if any asset class is going to do good. So you need to diversify your investment.
Which just means spreading it out over different classes of investments.
Yes.
Makes
I don't know if silver and gold's going to have a moonshot. I don't know if Bitcoin is. I don't know if the dollar is going to have a massive comeback. Maybe the dollar is going to fail. Ammo is going crazy right now. It tripled in value over the past 6 months or shorter. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Commodities. We just don't know. So what you want to do is spread your money out. You don't want to hold on just to dollars because we know inflation eats that away.
Mm-hmm. That's a given.
But I don't want to get rid of all my dollars because dollar could have a surge. I don't know what's going to happen with it.
Well, that sounds like good advice.
It is good advice. Although I don't give advice. I'm just telling you what I do. Invest at your own risk. Do not spend more than you can afford to lose. I can tell you that I'm holding probably a little more in cash than I want to. I'm probably at 50% dollars, so I need to make that down to like 30%. I'm at 50% dollars, 20% cryptocurrency, 20% precious metals, and probably 10% in ammo. That's how I have my wealth spread around.
Diversified.
I'm diversified. So that was my spiel. I just wanted to get that off of my chest. I've had a couple of questions about investing and diversifying and buying in and selling. And we actually know a bloke who was about to sell his whole wad of crypto because a market to him appeared to be tanking. I told mm-hmm. him to hold on. And within 7 days, it regained 25% of its value.
Yeah.
So had he sold in that fear versus greed moment out of emotion, he would have lost his ass.
Right.
My investment advice to him was stay the course. We don't know what's going to happen, but you just need to hold right now. And it worked out.
Right.
Or I could have just tanked another 50% and I gave him terrible advice, which is why I don't give advice. But you get my drift.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on to the next topic.
Yeah, I wanted to do a little talking about interpretations of events, or it doesn't even have to be events, but how our worldviews influence our everyday decisions, and how sometimes we have beliefs that are based on interpretations as opposed to being based on evidence or facts. And it's really easy to get caught up in that because our brains they're basically interpretation machines. It's just kind of how they work. Our brain is a prediction machine, you know? It's trying to right. forecast future events, and we can easily get trapped into believing something is real that is just an interpretation. And I think we're safer if we can avoid that. I think we can make better decisions if we avoid thinking in those terms.
So give me an example, a real life example of what you're talking about.
Okay, so they can range from the very big things to very small things. So I'll start with the very small thing. So let's say that your buddy Bob comes to you and says, "Hey man, I bought a new Ferrari." Now, you can think to yourself, "I've known Bob a long time, and he's always owned jalopies. You know, why did he buy a Ferrari? Or did he really buy a Ferrari?" Or you can think in your head, "I've known Bob for a long time, and he's never lied to me once. He must own a Ferrari now." So those are both interpretations. A better way to think about it might be, "Hey, Bob, that's pretty cool. I don't see the Ferrari. Where is it?" You know, like, ask for some evidence of this Ferrari. Did they at least give you a hat when you bought it? Or do you have a picture of it? Or do you have a keychain with the Ferrari key on it? Or can I take a ride in it? You know? And so that's not basing any kind of belief on an interpretation if you're asking for the evidence to prove whatever claim you are choosing to believe in or not believe in. And that, you know, that's a little thing that just made up in my head. Not really a great analogy, but for me, a good analogy are the religious analogies.
Okay.
Religious beliefs are all based on interpretation. None of those beliefs are based on what I would call evidence, which is okay. Right. You know, as humans, we don't know everything. And so we have to believe things on faith sometimes just because we don't know things.
Yes.
And then but the more that belief is going to affect your life, I think the more you should seek out evidence to prove or disprove the interpretation.
Well, it sounds very pragmatic.
It is very pragmatic. Like, it's okay.
So what about the ghosty events?
Yeah, supernatural stuff.
How would you apply this logic to a ghosty event?
I would apply it like this in both. Okay, so somebody has an experience and they tell me that they went to this house and they saw a ghost. There's nothing wrong with that belief and it doesn't hurt anything, I don't think. Now, if someone comes to me and says, I saw this ghost in this house and this ghost told me that I have to drink spaghetti or I have to eat spaghetti for the rest of my life. It's bad for me if I eat anything other than spaghetti. So I'm now on a 100% spaghetti diet because I saw this ghost in it. And then that's what it's told me. And I'm just certain it was a ghost. And why else would a ghost tell me that unless it was true? And, you know, that's a bad, it's not really awesome to make life decisions based on something that is very likely just an interpretation. Now, if someone says, hey, I saw this ghost, it was pretty awesome. Or at least I think it was a ghost. It might not have been a ghost, but it's pretty cool, so I'm going to believe that it was a ghost. There's not much wrong with that. I mean, how's it going to affect the rest of your life if you believe you saw a ghost once?
Right.
Or Bigfoot.
Well, it's just like, back before we really understood astronomy, and there would be a total solar eclipse, which would mark the apocalypse.
Yeah.
To ancient people, because it's a sign from the heavens, from the gods. Same with comets.
Yeah.
Every time a comet would go by, it's a harbinger of doom, a message sent, and now we know astronomy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They interpreted these events and developed these belief systems that were probably more harmful than good that ended up being astronomical events that really have no relative meaning to anything other than that they're astronomical events and are pretty cool to see.
Right. Or like you look out across the ocean and the Earth looks like it's probably flat. And if you just kept going in that direction in a boat, eventually you're going to fall off the edge because it looks like there's an edge out there. That's an
flat
interpretation.
Ocean.
But it's not based on any
exactly.
real evidence. Your brain is interpreting what your eyes are seeing.
So how do we rework how our brains work? I tend to interpret events a little bit.
Yeah, everybody does, and I do. But I think that it's not so much how do you stop interpreting things. I think it's how you choose to use that information that is very likely an interpretation. How do you use it to form your decisions?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably more important.
Having more of an objective point of view.
And if I believe this one thing is true, how much effect does it have on my life, you know?
Well, and I could see interpreting events becoming dangerous when you start pushing that onto others. So your spaghetti-eating ghost friend who's now eating only spaghetti is only doing it to himself, but then he starts forcing you to, or trying to force you to eat spaghetti for the rest of your life.
Yeah, trying
That's
to convince me. Yeah, I really want you to just eat spaghetti for the rest of your life because I love you so much and I don't want anything to happen to you. And, you know, I want you to do what my ghost said. Yeah, you're really dead on that one.
Well, I feel like that's what's going on in our political environment also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We have,
and people are just pushing their interpretation of events onto everyone around them, which
yeah.
could go anywhere from the Black Lives Matter event to all the riots and things like that. right?
Yeah, and they're very dogmatic.
Very dogma. Ooh, creeps me out. Well, that kind of rolls me into the next topic we have. So speaking of interpretations of events and current events, I've made an observation and have interpreted it.
Okay.
So we're in Arizona, and we're about 15 miles away from the little historic town known as Tombstone. And we've been going there kind of a lot. So in this town, there is a boot hill. There's a boot hole. There's a boot hill pretty much in every old Wild West town. And we did the boot hill tour, and we were reading all of these tombstones in Tombstone, and they're historically accurate tombstones. They've been restored, but...
Uh-huh. What is a boot hill? I don't even know what a boot hill is.
A boot hill, it's a cemetery.
Oh, okay.
And the reason they named it Boot Hill is because so many people were dying so rapidly, they died with their boots on.
Oh, okay.
And I think they actually put their boots on the grave at some point. I think some of them did that.
Not a lot of people dying in their bed.
No. They were dying with their boots on.
Gotcha.
Exactly. Exactly. So within this cemetery, there's a lot of unknown markers that literally say unknown. And there's a lot of graves where people were just shot. And it tells you, back in the day, they would write how you died on your gravestone. Mm. So it says something like, shot by Kenneth in the saloon over a bad card game. Stabbed from a quarrel at work from the mine. So right. Everyone's getting shot and stabbed. There's several poisonings. Several quote-unquote suicides. There was a couple people who died from charcoal fumes, I think from not venting their stoves correctly, probably.
Huh.
So it was really interesting to see this radical Wild West mind state where there was one tombstone where a man was making derogatory remarks about women, and he got shot and died from it, and it says it on his tombstone. So you're talking shit, you're going to get shot.
Right.
And so we think, oh, that's so barbaric. That was the old times. But then I flip on the news the other day, and, you know, we're having these riots in the cities, and people are getting shot for quarreling. Just a quarrel, and over, someone ends up shot.
Yeah, over... Killing someone over a political idea isn't much different to me than killing someone because they were saying derogatory things to a woman.
Exactly. So my point being, are we reverting back into the Wild West days of yore? It almost
seems like it. And obviously
it's going
to, if we were to revert in our mentality back to those days, it would still look different because of just technology. But if you think about things like doxing, you know, that's kind of the same thing. Some group of people get pissed off about what some famous person says and they dox them. Mm-hmm.
It's like a digital assassination.
Right.
Right. Well, and you have a quarrel, you know, that's what happened recently. Somebody was quarreling with somebody else. Someone was wearing a MAGA hat or some shit. I don't know what happened. And a left-wing, white, right-wing argument broke out, and the guy got shot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think I know what you're talking about. Some security guard or something shot somebody.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That is what I'm talking about. It just recently happened.
Yeah.
And we're so, oh my goodness, so surprised at it, but it's just human history repeating itself again. This was happening throughout the ages. And so when I went to Tombstone, I was reading these tombstones, it just made me correlate to our modern day times. The only difference is there's a lot more people and the cities are a lot bigger. So mm-hmm. It's extrapolating in numbers. Just an observation I had.
Yeah. Well, and you can also take that into... like an anarchist point of view, one of the arguments for government, the main argument for government, is for security. And so doesn't that just kind of prove that government doesn't supply security if it's all still happening?
Well, I just don't think you can defeat human nature, government or no government.
Well, you certainly can't legislate that.
You can't legislate human nature. And so what Tombstone did in response to this, all these murders going on, is they tried to make a gun ban in the town of Tombstone, which then propagated more violence in efforts to get people to stop carrying guns in town.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it was very successful, this gun ban, because the bad guys still carried guns. That sounds really familiar.
Does sound a little bit familiar.
Hmm.
Goes back to what we just said. You can't legislate human nature, and a bad guy is not going to pay attention to your gun law. Because they're bad guys.
Exactly. Because they're bad guys. Bad guys don't listen to laws.
Right.
So the way we are interpreting modern events as being so crazy, horrific, and unprecedented, the reality is this stuff was happening 100 years ago, 200 years ago, etc., etc. Just in different forms.
Right. Seems like maybe there's quite a bit of precedence.
I think there is a lot of precedence. I think all we have to do is flip back and see this is a pattern that repeats itself. The biggest difference is that we now are all connected through our phones and social media and news, that we can get instant information to keep up on all these little events.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Tombstone times, these kind of things don't even make the paper.
Yeah, only the people in Tombstone knew about it.
Yeah.
For weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah, interesting observation.
Yeah. Well, we have several more topics to talk about, but I feel like we've already made a healthy time frame of an episode. What do you think?
I think we've rambled on quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm drunk.
Yeah, me too. It's time to shoot some pool.
Well, that depends on how many you've had.
That's true. Am I in the zone?
For me, yeah. The zone is between 3 beers and 4 beers. So I hit 3, and I'm a magical wizard of pool. Like, I see the geometry on the table. It's really weird. And I get every shot. But then I keep drinking, and by my 4th beer, it's all over.
Yeah. My zone's a little larger than that. I can usually go
right.
A few beers more in.
I have a very small window of opportunity, and I always blow it, so.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, if you enjoy this episode, if you enjoy our podcast, please leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on. It helps us get found in the algorithms. And don't forget to bookmark us, subscribe to our RSS feed, so you can get updated when we release new episodes. Head on over to the website. You can subscribe to our newsletter, and we'll send you interesting information. We've actually formulated a really great newsletter. It just came out. We've got a little bit of off-grid knowledge in there. We've got a little bit of agorism knowledge in there. We've got a little product recommendation, some listening recommendations. It's kind of a nice little newsletter, and it's not very long. It'd take you about 5 minutes to read, if that.
Yeah, and it's super scannable, too. So, like, if you don't have the time to read it, you can just kind of scan through and see what's there real quick and decide if you want to take the time or not or whatever.
I think it's worth taking the time. And
we're pulling information from all over the internet, too. So it's not just our voices. We're finding other valuable voices to share.
Exactly. And there's plenty of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you sift through the crap. And there is plenty of crap, too, as we all know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, y'all have that good day, and tune in next time.
Talk to you later. Here's a little teaser for what's coming next week.
Okay, so you're illegally dumping? That's great.
Yeah, yeah. I was sneaking my trash into someone else's dumpster for a long time.
Oh my god, that's kind of funny. And then I imagine you guys don't make much waste.
No, we really don't. Thanks for listening to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe so you can get all the new episodes.